You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey there, welcome to the show today. I hope you're watching the video. If you're listening to the audio, you need to go look at the video. Here's why. So the video background looks boring as heck, but I did it for a reason. Today I want to talk about the power, the opportunity of one. And the reason is because you've heard me talk a lot about my goal to get to 250 million. And I'm, 2 months away from my deadline, which is October 14th. And I'll report on that as we go. But here's the thing. 250 million is like a lot of people, right? And so you think sometimes we get in a crowd or there's a lot of folks and we think, I'm nothing. I'm nobody. I'm just one person. I mean, what the heck? What can I do? Just me, you know. I mean, like, come on, just me. What have I got? And you've got a lot more than you think. And every day that goes by, I learn that again. And I had a chance to be on somebody else's show this morning, and it was just evidence to me again the truth of what we're going to talk about today. Every single person makes a difference, and a big difference. Like, I don't care what's come before. You matter now. And can have a big impact if you choose to do something with your life experience and the gifts that you have. So the reason I picked this background with all those books back there is because a person, maybe two, but mostly one person wrote each of those books. Now, I don't know if you've written a book. You know, I've written a bunch. I counted the other day and I have 20. So I got 20 books. And someone would say, Kellen, are you insane? Why would you write 20 books? I wrote them for you. I didn't write them for me. I didn't write them because I want to be Stephen King and I wanted them to make movies. Although some screenwriter did approach me and talk to me about possibly helping me to get that done. But that's a story for another day. Here's the thing. I wrote every single book because of stuff that I have been through. Now, you know the stories. I struggled for decades with depression and self-sabotage and everything up to 2007 when I was 52. I'll be 69 here in a couple of months. So for the last 17 years, I've lived a completely different life, completely radically different than all the 52 years before that. My point is all the stuff that I went through, the work that I had to do to figure out who I really was and to make a difference in my life. All of that was the work. And after I did it, or as I was doing it, it occurred to me, you know, this is making a huge difference for me. I wonder if somebody else would be benefited if I chronicle this experience or if I write about what I'm learning, and hence the names of books, right? I wrote the story arc because why? Because I learned about writing books. And it turns out that process is helpful for creating products. If you have an online business and you sell stuff, or workshop, if you want to run workshops on different things, or give keynotes, if you're a speaker, or write books, or. And so as I learned that, I thought, man, I got to share this. So it turned into business, right? I've helped lots and lots of people write their books and create courses and that stuff. I wrote a book called Forgiveness. Why? Because I needed to work on that. I had a lot of forgiveness of others, forgiveness of self. I needed to understand it and do it and take the blinders and the baggage off that I was carrying, because I was carrying hurt. I was carrying shame. I was carrying anger and guilt. All those things, when you carry them, they hide your light. And you know that if you think about it. And as I worked and successfully eliminated those things in my life, I thought again, wow, this could be really helpful. So I wrote a book on forgiveness. Every single one of the books is like that. So that's why I showed this shelf. Those aren't all mine. Obviously, most of them are not, although mine are on there, just not on those shelves. Here's the thing. Every person who wrote a book did it because they thought it would be valuable to somebody, right? And maybe they wrote them to sell to like storytellers like Stephen King and Dean Koontz and the lady that wrote Harry Potter and all those others. And we all have fallen in love with many of those stories. But the point is, one person wrote the Harry Potter series, J.K. Rowling. And how many millions upon millions, tens of millions, 100 million, maybe hundreds, I don't know, have seen it, have read it, have been influenced by it, touched by it, changed by it, in, had different ideas about themselves, because of that one person's imagination. So that's what I want to talk about today. This whole show is about creating a life you love, a life of purpose, prosperity, joy, cash, enjoyment, serving, loving. I was on a show this morning, as I mentioned, and it's about making money, how to make money, how to keep money. You know, it's a business show, and it's all about money, understanding how it works and how, you know, investments work and real estate and a model called infinite banking, where you become your own bank. And all of those things are part of this guy's wheelhouse. And I've shared a stage with him before. We spoke at an event in Philadelphia, and that's where I met him many, many months ago. Maybe a year ago, and, you know, thought he would be a great guest. And he was on one of my podcasts, and today I was on his. But you know what we talked about? We talked about many things, but one of them was the influence and power that you, right here, you individually have, no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing. But you know what I notice? Most people ignore that. Most people live in the story, I don't matter much. I can't do much. Or I've tried and failed. Nobody listens, nobody cares, et cetera, et cetera. So I have a question for you to start this show, and I want you to think about it all the way through. I want you to imagine what would happen, or maybe imagine someone that has done what I'm going to describe. Imagine the power of one person who claims and fully embraces every gift that they have, every skill that they've learned, and every growth opportunity from their life experience. In other words, instead of hiding them or burying them or wishing they hadn't happened or being angry about them, if they took every skill that they've learned, maybe something you learned in school, maybe something you learned in a trade thing, maybe from the school of hard knocks, every gift that you have, you know, those things you do naturally, and everything that you've learned or grown through or were refined by because stuff happened to you in life. If you took those things and used them to their maximum, instead of hiding from them, being mad about them or anything else, can you imagine the power that a person who does that has? Now, let's give you some examples through history. We have politicians, love them or hate them. They have a lot of power. Now, whether or not they're using it for good is a different issue. My assumption is everything that you and I are going to do is to add good to the world, to love and to serve. So if you're thinking of examples of dirtbags like Hitler and others that use their individual power to wreck the world instead of bless the world, that's fine. That's true, too. And it's a perfect example of someone who took their influence, their ability to speak powerfully to a crowd and killed, I don't know, 10 million people or more. So, yes, that has happened. But if that can happen, so can one person who is powerful and doing good, adding good to the world. So if you think that the only people who have great power are one rotten person, no. Good triumphs in the end anyway. You think I'm crazy, but it does and it will. So if someone can have power like Hitler or like Putin, who started a war and has killed a million people already, or close to it, and displaced 20 million more. So that many million people are driven out of their homes. A million people of his own and in Ukraine, or nearly that, are dead or injured because one madman thought he needed to prove he was strong or cool or some stupidity. So if that can happen, then you can have the same kind of influence. You don't have to be in charge of a country or an army. Now, let me tell you what happens. If a person, you, and I want you to think of you in this, if you took advantage of everything that you have learned, every natural gift you have, and the life experiences that you've had, and you took advantage of them all together, what you end up with is you end up with an explosive, unstoppable force that can create value, impact millions, create cash in your chosen area. And I'm going to give you some examples. I had a coaching call earlier today with a client who's been with me for a while. And 10 years ago or so, when we started our coaching, he had one business that was struggling. And we spent a lot of time on our weekly calls talking about not only the struggling business, but his attitude, his personal feelings, how he was approaching things, who he was choosing to be, and all the stuff we've talked about. Because who you're choosing to be trumps everything. Today, that single person has now partnered with some others. They've created a multinational import company. And at the trajectory they're on right now, in 2.5 years, they easily could be positioned for a $300 or $400 million buyout, where each of the four partners would get $100 million. And yeah, I said that slow and chewed on it to like go, wow, think about that. And the leadership and determination, and guess what? The skills, the talents, and the life experience. I want you to remember those things. What are your skills? What have you learned either at school or in trade school or in a job? This particular person learned to be very organized, learned to read and understand financials, learned to be determined, learned to lead, right? Chose to be a loving and kind person, chose to be an optimist, to look on the bright side of things, chose to overcome or eliminate a slew of negative tendencies that they had before. We all have some, right? But in conscious effort has changed those things. And one of the benefits, now there's more, and I'm not going to spend a long time talking about those benefits, but one of them is a $100 million buyout that is, it looks to me like, quite sure in the next 2.5 years. So the idea that a single person can't do, and he's not anybody particular. If I said his name, you wouldn't know him. Like he's not in the news or anything else, and he's going to create that or has created that vehicle, generational wealth for his family and, you know, his kids and on and on. Well, why not you? So let's talk about these three pieces I've been talking about. One is the set of skills you have. Maybe you're a lawyer. Maybe you work at Home Depot. Maybe you are a customer service person. Maybe you're a programmer. Maybe you're a coach like I am. Maybe you're an accountant. Maybe, you know, whatever. What are the sets of skills that you have? Now, here's what happens. Most people take that set of skills, they sell them in the marketplace and get paid and get a job. And 75 to 85%, depending on the survey, of people don't really find the job fulfilling or they're not happy. Well, that's because you're only using a single skill. The gifts that you have, maybe you have artistic gifts. Those are sometimes kind of obvious. Music, art, sports, athletics, that kind of thing. You know what the ones are that are most powerful? The emotional gifts, understanding, emotional intelligence, empathy, the ability to listen well, read between the lines, knowing the right thing to say all the time, being others focused. I mean, there's dozens, if not hundreds, of gifts that are in our natures, and each of us gets blessed with some of those. I'm not saying everybody has all of them, because we don't. The third and most important pillar in creating this massive impact that you can have is your life experience. Maybe you've been divorced. Maybe you were betrayed. Maybe you were abused. Maybe you got, you know, maybe you have a physical challenge, some kind of disability, or you got in an accident, or a drunk hit you, or you had a recent death in the family. Obviously, you didn't die or you wouldn't be listening. You know, any of those things. Here's the truth. The truth is those things that happen, they wreck you, they ruin you, or they refine you. And sometimes they do both. Now, if you look at your skills and your gifts and your life experience, you can create power. We've talked about mine, but I'll review a couple of them here. I learned to be a leader. I had executive positions, rose up through ranks of different companies, and eventually was in charge of a lot of people in the C-suite. So I had leadership, and I learned to listen well, and I learned to, you know, intellectually to be able to assess and solve problems. gifts. I have the gift of speaking. I have the gift of being able to understand complex things quickly, being able to look at something that's very complex and dumb it down. I don't mean that in a pejorative way, but simplify it so that anyone can talk about it. One of the things I used to do when I worked in the electricity business, you know, the supply of electricity where there were markets and deregulation, is I was always the guy that had to go to either Washington, D.C., or Sacramento in California and talk to the legislators who would have no reason to have a clue about how any of this worked. And I was the one that was chosen because I had the skill to talk about it in terms that they would understand and get them to not be overwhelmed by the complexity so they could make good decisions about stuff. So if you marry your things, your skills, your gifts, and your life experience, you can create power. Now, my life experience has been addiction, divorce, self-sabotage, depression, suicide attempts, a whole slew of like grody crap, right? And yeah, I have had a bunch of things done to me where I was, quote, the victim or the person. All of those things have an impact on us, but you get to decide what the impact is. When I let those things beat me down and make me shrink, they had a terrible impact and I sucked. And I had, you know, a negative impact about myself. My ability to have the kind of influence I'm talking about was zero. When I allowed it to refine me and chose the position, I wasn't going to let what anyone did to me ever change me or control me. And when I decided that though I had made a ton of mistakes, I was going to change who I was and be a different person. I was going to do everything I could to make amends as best you can. But most of those things, when you hurt people's trust and you betray people and you do stuff, you can't fix that anyway. Your best option is to change who you are being. So those are the processes, and we've talked about those on other episodes. Today, I want to marry them, and I want to talk to you about your power. I'm surprised, pleasantly, when I get a chance to talk to a lot of people. I set up my day so that I am meeting new people nearly every day, one or two, sometimes four or five brand new people. This last weekend, I met 20. And I got to talk significantly with maybe half a dozen or seven, where I got to talk to them long enough to get to know them a bit, right? Here's what I'm amazed at. Every person, without exception, that I meet has a story. Now, the story can be a victim story where I get the shit kicked out of me in these 27 ways, and so I'm beat up, I'm shriveled up, or I got the shit kicked out of me in these 27 ways, and it taught me to be resilient, to look for answers, to not get down on myself, to look at the bright side and to look for the opportunity, right? And every person that I talk to feels like, deep inside, if I shared the stories that I have and the lessons that I learned, if I shared those openly and freely, I could be of service. I could help many people who are struggling with the same questions, worries, insecurities. We all share the feeling of inadequacy and the yearning to matter. You know that you yearn to matter, to make a difference. You yearn for that like anything. We all do. And here's the beauty. You can have that. Most people live in fear. They say, I don't know how. Nobody would listen anyway. So again, I'm going to talk about the power of one. Now, in this meeting I had this weekend, I met several people who took this message to heart. And they were in the process of following some plans and steps to create gigantic impact. One guy that has created some awesome AI tools to help businesses leverage their exposure and visibility. There's another person that was there who's made it their business to learn how to work with the existing laws and rules to help you with credit problems. You know, the description was, we can get you gold-plated credit. Well, you know what? As someone who had struggled, I mean, I've had bankruptcy in the past, a bunch of other things, in the days of struggle, you know, that resonated with me. And there's lots of times when you or I have had some kind of trouble. So that was a skill that person had developed, among others. Okay, there was someone there who is getting a movie made about their life because they'd had some extraordinary events in their life. And you know what? So have you. Now, here's the funny thing. I'm gonna be a little open and have a confession here. You know, I've died. I had divine interventions, addiction habits, and suicide attempts, and busted relationships, and a bunch of other stuff. And there was a long time when I was really down on myself. And when I got on this journey of self, you know, improvement, personal improvement, and transmutation of all my negative feelings to positive ones, and doing all that work, I heard a lot of people say, you can make a big difference. And you know what my reaction to that was? My story sucks. I don't have anything to share. Nobody would listen. And it wouldn't matter anyway. Who am I? I felt that same way when I sat in the audience and listened to speakers that get paid $50,000 and $70,000 to speak, and they would tell stories about their lives, about their ruin, refine moments from events, using their gifts and their learned skills, and they would be impressive, and you're sitting on the edge of the chair, and you're going, yeah, oh, whoa, and you might get emotional and all that stuff. And then I would look at my own life and say, you know, I might be able to do something if I had a story like that. But me, I got nothing. I remember stomping out of a conference after listening to a breathtaking, riveting speaker. And here's why. During my executive career from 77 to 2007, in those 30 years, I spoke at I don't know how many conferences. But they were technical things, and, you know, I was an expert in the field, and et cetera, et cetera. So I got called and asked to do that a lot. And so I did that. I knew how to speak, and I knew how to speak well and give good presentations and keep people's attention and all that stuff. I had developed those skills. But when I thought about applying it in the world of using my own learnings and story to serve and bless the lives of other people, my immediate thought was, hide. I got nothing. Nobody would listen to me, and I'm full of crap. Now, you may be starting from a place of you haven't had speaking training. You don't know how to be on camera or be a riveting speaker. You haven't learned those skills. Well, trust me, those are all learnable. They're steps, 1, 2, 10. You can learn that. That isn't the thing that gets in the way. The thing that gets in the way is the bullshit that I was thinking about myself. I got nothing. I'm nobody. I suck. And that was even though I had miraculous interventions and I'd done the recovery from the places that I was and divine protection from a couple of suicide attempts and everything else. And I couldn't see it. And the reason is because I hadn't gone to work to let those experiences refine me, asking the simple question, how can this terrible thing, the abuse that I suffered, how can I take that, no excuses, not blame anything, total forgiveness, not holding anything against anyone, but the fact is these experiences happened. How can I let that refine me? What can I learn that I can share and use to have this big impact that I was talking about to start with, the power of one? Well, I'll tell you some of the things I've discovered. I have become 1,000 times, maybe 10,000 times more patient because of what I have been through. I have way more empathy. I can listen to people in a way no one else can that I know and see to the heart of the matter. I'm able to offer encouragement and energy to people who are struggling. And there's several more. But those things only came when I looked at the struggles, the terrible things that at the time were misery and pain, and asked a simple question. How can I learn from this? How can I grow from this? How can I use this to bless you who are listening right now? A mistake I used to make was thinking in generalities. How can I help people with this? Well, we don't talk to people when we're serving, and you might speak to a room, but you're really trying to help a single person, someone who's struggling with loneliness or pain or self-sabotage or self-worth or fear, you know, or procrastination, right? You're speaking from your heart and soul to share that experience, not so that they'll think you're cool or go ooh and ah about you. That's not on the table. Because if you are, you're done, you're over, you're yesterday, you're a has-been. But if you're there to serve, if you're there to give, if you're there to see, to search your heart and to see how can I turn these learnings into some blessing. And you can't control what somebody thinks, but if you come at a conversation or a talk or any interaction with the idea of what can I do to serve here. I just earlier today had a coaching session with one of my coaches who is a Hollywood A-list vocal coach, coaches and has coached some pretty high name clients. And one of the things that we talked about today in performance, I perform a bunch of songs and I'm getting ready to do some concerts and things from original material. Now, if you want to hear some of it, look my name up on Spotify or iTunes or Amazon or whatever. But anyway, he said, you know, as a performer, you don't worry at all about what people are thinking about your performance. And that might be completely counterintuitive, but if you want to have impact, what you think about is nothing. What you do is present the experience, and your job is to be in the experience you're singing about with full transparency, authenticity, and with all the emotion and power that you can, that is represented to you by the story, the song, the experience. And what people do with it is their business. But you have 1,000 times more likelihood of doing something that matters when you're not trying to matter, when what you're trying to do is simply authentically represent the experience. So you're singing a song, I'm going to authentically be in the experience represented by the song. And I don't care what anybody thinks. That is the way you impact people. And I want you to think about movies. When you see actors who win awards, it's because they are being completely that thing and screw the audience. They're being the thing that they're there to be. Well, that's the same way you can have an impact with your story. Now, my story and yours, it isn't going to affect everybody. If I tell somebody I attempted suicide, there's going to be a big bunch of people who say, so what? Too bad you didn't succeed. Screw you. I don't care. And there's going to be a group who hear parts of how I got there and what I was thinking and why, and it's going to hit them. And they're going to say, tell me more. Tell me more about what happened. And what did you do and why? And after you weren't dead, what did you do next to start to heal? What did you do next so it didn't happen again? What did you do next? Because something about your story and the way you presented it matters. Now, if I'm busy trying to tell it in a meaningful way, I ruin that. The power comes from authenticity and transparency. Now, we're back to the power of the one. So I've said all that because I'm going to go back to my original. All those things that you've learned from your life experience. You're an unstoppable, invincible force for good. You can make money hand over fist, and you can make an enormous impact. Now you might be again thinking, how? You know where most people fall down? They haven't yet let the hardships of life refine them. If I'm still bitter, angry, frustrated, shriveled up, you know, carrying guilt or remorse, if I'm still in that place, effectively what it does is it puts a blanket over your light. You may have the brightest light in the world, but if I'm carrying those negative emotions still, anger at someone else, rage that someone didn't get punished, guilt because I was such a douchebag and did some, you know, unkind or cruel or inconsiderate, you know, things. And so I'm hating myself. All that does is put a light cover, a cover over your light, a blanket over your fire. It throws water on anything you try to do because all you're projecting is guilt, anger, shame, fear, bitterness, resentment, and those are not attractive, and they're not going to create money for you, and they're not going to create influence or impact. So that's why I love the coaching work so much, because each person I work with has come to this realization, and I'm going to share it with you. Here's the realization they've come to. If I choose to learn from my life experience, I could really help some people. I could really be of service. Maybe it's talking, maybe it's a book, maybe it's a lot of things. But I really could do that. When you come to that realization, that's just the starting point. Because in order to make it powerful, you have to look at the skills, the gifts, and your lessons from your life experience. You have to figure out how to combine them in a powerful way so that you have a real thing to offer others, the marketplace, as it were. And you have to clean your heart out of bitterness, anger, rage, guilt, and shame, because those are all blankets and dampers on your ability to make a difference. They just are. So I'm going to read this or say it one more time. If you, listening right here, right now, claim all of your skills, all of your gifts, and all of the things you have allowed to refine you, even the bitter, hard, rotten, unfair, unjust ones, if you do that, you will have power to create staggering impact, even by yourself. Here's how I know that's true. I see tons of examples. I'm not talking about, you know, religious figures or, you know, Jesus or other people in history. Yes, we see those. But I know individuals right now who are doing exactly what I say, and they're no better than you are. They're no more powerful. They're no more capable. That's what I learned when I thought I have nothing, no story, and then went back and did more work and realized I have a story that's at least as good, and in many cases, more compelling, more powerful, more detailed, with more power in it than lots of those ones that I was slobbering in my lap over. And you know what I know about you? You have that too. Now, if you're going to do that, claim and own that power, there are three things that you've got to get out of your life. Three things have to happen. Okay, the first thing is some things that have got to be eliminated. You've got to eliminate the idea that you were hard done by. I don't care if there was injustice in your life. I don't care. So what? Learn, choose, make something out of it. Because if you stay in the victim corner, you're dead. You're finished. No impact, no cash. So you have to eliminate victim thinking. You have to get rid of a close relative, which is entitlement. I've had this and this and this done to me, so I deserve the world, the justice system, my relative. They owe me. You're dead. You're finished. If you live with that, your light is going to be out. So that's something else that has to go. A victim sort of approach to things. This entitlement idea. Another thing that's related, these all are all related, is what I call addiction to mediocrity. When things get hard, we give up. We've become addicted. We have this idea that it all better be easy, and if it's hard, it's not worth it, or I shouldn't be doing it. Well, nobody ever fell up a mountain. Nobody ever fell to a great accomplishment. You climb. Nobody fell up Mount Everest. The guy that did Free Solo, he didn't fall up El Capitan. Nobody fell up the success mountain. It takes work. It takes blood, sweat, and tears. But you can have it. And so the question about having a big impact and making a huge difference as an individual all comes down to you and your determination to get there. Nobody can keep you from climbing that mountain. I don't care how many naysayers are saying, you suck, you're stupid, who, you? You can't do that. You haven't got the smarts or the ability. You'll never make it. That's their opinion, and they're entitled to it. Ignore it. Get the help you need, not the hindrance. Get the help you need and keep going. No one can keep you from up that hill. So that's the first set of things, is things we've got to drop by the wayside. And it's nice to drop them because, you know what? They're just big rocks in your backpack. If I'm carrying around the idea that I'm entitled to this, that's just 100 pounds in my backpack. Dump it. I'm entitled to exactly nothing, and so are you. And I don't care if I was a victim of something. I've turned them all into positives. I have forgiven everyone, everything, and myself so that I got no rocks in my backpack. So that's the first thing. Get rid of that weight of entitlement and victim mindset. The second piece is to understand that every setback, every betrayal, every injustice, every fear, every negative thing that happened to you, you know what it is? It's the exact rocket fuel you need to get to the top of the mountain you're going for. You know why? You know, people say the trite thing, well, everything happens for a reason. Well, that can really be irritating. Or you can examine every circumstance and say, what can I do with this? You always have the choice to be pissed off about it, shouldn't have happened, and be angry and try to get revenge or whatever. Or you can sincerely ask, what can I learn from this? How can I grow from this? What can I do with this situation? Internally, externally. Perfect example for me was in December of 2018, about 6 years ago, December 5th, I woke up after sleeping. I got up in the morning and I was paralyzed from the waist down. Literally, I tried to get out of bed and fell right on my face. I tried to get up on my hands and knees and fell on my face. The only direction of motion that was available for me was down. And nothing like that had ever happened to me before. So I had no idea what the heck was going on, right? And the story about how it happened doesn't matter. I think I've told that story before anyway. So, but when I got in the ambulance going to the hospital, I'm in a lot of pain because in addition to being paralyzed, it hurt. Everything hurt. And so here's what I chose to do. I laid there and thought about it for a sec on the stretcher, and I was asking myself, what are you going to do with this? No one was in there with me, so I'm alone, left to myself. And here's the question I chose to ask. What is the gift here? And I made myself think about it so I could answer that question. Not because I wanted to be a martyr or wanted to be cool or prove anything. I genuinely wanted to know, how could I be more powerful, more capable, make a bigger difference, make more money and more impact by thinking about this event in a particular way? So number two is come to an understanding, a deep, true, not intellectual, but emotional understanding that every setback, every hardship, every betrayal, every injustice ever happened to you, whether you did it to yourself or others, it's what you need. It's the exact rocket fuel mixture that you need to blast yourself up the mountain and to infinity. So that's the second piece. And the third piece, now I've been speaking in this sort of agitated, elevated tone, and I'm going to calm all this right down now, because the third thing, if you're going to create the kind of impact and income you want, and you want to do it from your skills, from your gifts, and from your life experience, especially the rotten stuff, you need, I need, we need to learn love. Love for ourselves, love for others, unconditional forgiveness. And the only way to learn those is to practice. So I have in my coaching practice, I develop these two sentence things to help clients remember to practice. Practice what? Well, I call it PD push-ups, personal development push-ups. So PD push-ups, here's one of those little two-line sayings I have. It's this: notice and choose. Notice and choose. Well, I have a client who says to me every week, I am an expert at notice and choose. So here's what I mean by that. Most of us go through life reacting to circumstances. Well, if you're a reactionary, again, you're screwed. You're never going to get to the top of the mountain. You're never going to be the kind of person with the big impact you could have. But if you master situations by adopting notice and choose, then you will have the ability to get anything you want, create any life you want. Here's what notice and choose means. Most of us live in this reactionary mode. Somebody does something, we react. We run, we yell, we jump up and down because we're excited, whatever. But the external stimulus told us what to do. Notice and choose is taking back your power. So someone says something that insults or irritates you. Not noticing and choosing would be to flip them off, call them names, yell at them and tell them they're stupid or whatever. Another way to not notice and choose is not to do any of that, but just rage inside and think, I'll get him back later, dirtbag. You know, payback is a bitch. You can be that person. Notice and choose would say, wow, I am feeling really hard done by. I am feeling really insulted or embarrassed or whatever. And that's noticing the feeling that you have. Choosing is saying a different thing. What do I want to do with this feeling? Yeah, my natural reaction might have been to react or retaliate or whatever. But, you know, I think I'm going to choose something different. I think I'm going to take a walk for a minute, just let this emotion pass. Because emotions, they have a shelf life. They're just chemistry. It's like taking a shot of whiskey. It takes a certain amount of time for your bloodstream to process the alcohol. Emotions are exactly the same. They're chemistry in the bloodstream. If you give your blood and your body some time to process it, it will, and it'll dissipate. So you can say, you know, last time I went off the handle and did whatever, I didn't really like the consequences, and there was some crap I had to clean up later. I'm going to choose something different. I'm noticing the feeling. I choose. I'm noticing another person's not keeping their word. They're not in integrity. I can be insulted. I can be angry. Those are all possibilities. But I'm going to choose just to ask about it in a very calm way, not to get even or anything else, but to genuinely find out what the problem is, to see if we can fix the situation. Because what I really want is for the situation to be fixed. So notice and choose is a massively powerful tool. And it's that simple. Notice and choose. Notice what you're thinking. Notice what you're feeling. And then make a conscious choice about what you're going to do with that, because you think about what you want in the end. Okay, what is your end game? So there's one thing. And so this third whole part. Number one was to end all those things that we talked about, entitlement, learned helplessness, and victim speak, and all the rest. The second thing is understanding every setback is a building block if you want it. You know, it can be a stumbling block or a building block, your call. And the third thing is to let love be your engine. Let forgiveness and love be the power that fuels your day. Not greed, not anger, not sneakiness, not deceit. Let love and forgiveness be your engine. Now, that might all sound like some do-gooder crap, but here's what I know. It's money. If you choose to discover your gifts, to look at the skills, and mine like a gold mine your life experience, then you can become an individual powerhouse. You, one person, can make a huge difference. Now, we spent this time talking about the power of one, and I want to paint a picture of you, for you. I mean, can you imagine if there were 100 people who chose to live like that? If there were 100 people who claimed their gifts, who claimed their talents, who claimed fully their life experience and wove themselves into something powerful. What a force for change. What a force for good. What if there were 1,000? What if there were 1,000,000? We can change the world. The story is that we can't. The story is, I'm little, I got nothing, I can't do anything. There's all these outside things. That's nonsense. By yourself, right this minute, you're not going to go stand on a street corner and change the world, probably. But you know what you can do? You start by changing you. You can become a beacon of light, a vessel of love, and a conduit of power. And that means every person who's around you, every person who touches you, energetically, physically, spiritually, you can lift and you can bless. That's a choice. Notice where you are and choose to be elevated. Choose to forgive. Choose to love. Choose to create. Choose to be excited. Choose to give. Choose to be that person because you can. You have that sovereign right. And you know what I know from my own bitter experience and from others is when we choose anger, when we choose vengeance, when we choose entitlement, that never goes to the place where, oh, I am so happy. I'm excited about my life. It never goes there, ever, not even one single time. The power of one. You can make a huge difference right where you are. And I want to give you some invitations. There's a URL on the screen, www.yourultimatelife.ca. Go there. If you haven't gone there already, I'm genuinely curious as to why. The 5 master keys to creating life purpose, prosperity, including all the cash you want, and joy are there. 5 master keys to create your ultimate life are there, and they're there for the taking. They don't do the work for you. Because nobody falls up any mountain. That never happens and it never will. But they do show the way. They are the path. The second thing I want to invite you to do is to share this. If these ideas and this encouragement to be your best self, if it resonates with you, share it with someone who needs some encouragement. I love you because I can. I don't need to see your face and know you. You're a divine being with great gifts and talents. I know that. And that what's there not to love? So the second invitation is please share this with 2 people. Share it with 2 people. Not because I need 2 more. You will help me get to my 250 million. But share it because you have the opportunity to add good to the world and to give something good to someone. The third thing I would invite you to do is if you or someone you know has a message of hope, resilience, possibility, growth, and all of the things that we've talked about, I'd like to meet them. because I love guests. And I also like to surround myself with people who notice and choose, who make a choice to add good to the world, who want to be one of the 10 or 100 or 1,000 or million people who make the choice to claim their gifts, to discover their skills and develop them, and to mine their life experience for good. I promise you, you'll never know until you try. And if I can help you in any way, I will. But I can promise you that if you pursue this and create your greatness, then you will also, like I do, be living your ultimate life.
You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.